Hey Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
You have a problem. If no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Now this should be the Broncos theme. We want this to be the Broncos theme song. Because it's like, George, or Greg Penner, George Payton, here comes Sean Payton. No, we would love that to be the case. So, theme songs, what theme song would fit the Denver Broncos at this point? Shoot us a text on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Or that could just be Brendan Vogt's new theme song, you know? I mean, he's kind of like an A-team kind of guy. Brendan Vogt, our Nuggets insider with DNVR Nuggets. Brendan, my friend, always great to catch up with you.
What's up, man? Good to be back on the show. We haven't talked lately, but the Nuggets... they're playing well, man. We've got plenty to talk about.
No question about it. Nuggets have been playing really well with or without Nikola Jokic. I know the other night against the Thunder, I mean, my goodness, how many, 16? Was it 16 missed free throws, Brendan? My goodness.
It was 16 missed free throws in a two-point loss, and that is about as tough a pill to swallow, I think. I was so curious for the players and coaches, how do you discuss that after the game,
yeah.
Right? You know you did what you needed to do to win, save for one thing. That's, I mean, what, do you work on free throws in practice? I mean, you know what I mean? It's a tough one. But I'll tell you what, in some ways it was a good process loss. Sometimes winning streaks fall apart in spectacular fashion. So maybe they stay focused here as this show goes on the road.
Yeah, I mean, you hear that a lot, right, Brendan? You hear maybe this team, you know, needs to lose a game. Maybe it needs to see that they can't just fall asleep and win a game, whatever. Because, I mean, with or without Joker, this team has been ridiculous. That Pacers game certainly felt like this team could do no wrong. They're going to just keep dunking it and high-flying, doing all these crazy things. Maybe sometimes a loss like that where it's not like you were just flat out awful. You just couldn't make free throws. Maybe sometimes you need that at this point in the season.
Right. Like they, in a lot of ways, they followed the blueprint to success that's gotten them off to that win streak. They just left so many free points on the board. But maybe that's a nice wake up call that, hey, we know how to win, but none of these wins are guaranteed. So let's go out and be our sharpest and best selves. So, you know, it's interesting, acting coach David Adelman, and that does sound, by the way, like Michael Malone will be back and ready to coach tonight. He did make the trip. Acting head coach David Adelman was saying that these guys are really locked in right now. And sometimes when you go on a win streak, it can be detrimental to process and focus. But he's encouraged by these guys being as communicative and dialed in on the game plan as they've been all year.
Well, good news to get Michael Malone back into the mix. What about the Joker, Brendan? Can we expect him to play tonight?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Still questionable. didn't hear or see much at shoot around. I'm not on the road, obviously, but just on the interwebs. And we'll go full conspiracy corner here on your show.
Yes.
Haven't seen any digital, like social media posts, including the Joker, which to me is always like, I think if he was going to play, we'd probably have seen a tweet or two by now of an outfit or something. But, you know, we haven't seen much. So I don't think he's going to play. Whether he does or doesn't, it really sounds like this is precautionary. And given that they're showing a little bit more ability to win without him this season, maybe that's just something they're that much more comfortable doing.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, if you can do it now, because you certainly don't want something to fester and get, you know, out of hand the next couple of weeks where it becomes a more of a serious situation for the Joker.
Right, with hamstrings too, not to cut you off, but hamstrings are just so finicky that if he's feeling a little discomfort, there's just no reason to push that in January. So that's their perspective right now.
Brendan, obviously, I know Michael Porter Jr. has some things to be there for with his family and basketball and all that. But I have to ask. I mean, you know, what does that look like? I can't even imagine, man. I mean, I would want to shut off and just be around my family for as long as I possibly can be. Terrible, terrible story. I mean, what's the latest there? Could he sit out for maybe a month or so? I honestly don't know.
Yeah, right. You said not a ton of precedent, right? And everyone would be different in how they react to this.
Sure.
I think what we can say is it sure seems like, and I would definitely expect that this team has told him, take all the time you need. You know, so I don't know about seeing him on the road. It's tough. It's not any of our right or bad to kind of speculate how he's feeling. But I think we can all do a lot of projection here. That would be tough for me. I'm sure it would be tough for you to come into work and stay focused every day. So, you know, it's about a lot more than basketball, what went down with his brother. But on the basketball side of things, yeah, I mean, if anyone were to lose focus, given what's going on around them in that situation, it'd be hard to blame them.
Well, and it's also one of those things, too. Like you said, we have no right to decide what's right for him. If he decides that playing basketball is what I need, then I'm not going to be one of those guys either. Me personally, I can see myself just diving into my family and being there. But there's a lot of stories, and some of them turn out very positive, where they really needed the game to keep their sanity, too. So whatever he decides to do, you just hope the best for the family. I just can't imagine, man. It's just sick. It just sucks.
It's just a horrible, horrible situation. You know, they're a close family. Obviously, thinking of the family of the victim, you know, as well.
Yes.
Just a horrible situation all around. Only talking about it, you know, through the sports lens, since that's what you and I do for a living, right? But it's tough. He's been so focused, and he's done so many things right this year, and so much of what's asked of him. This is a real challenge. The real challenge to stay focused to a tightrope walk, right, of that he's had to do his whole career, of fitting into a role while being himself. And now he's got all this on his plate. You know, everyone reacts differently. We'll find out together, but just a horrible situation, like you said.
No question about it. Brendan Vogt joining us from DNVR Nuggets. Brendan, I don't want to get conspiracy theory either, because we're already doing that. But is there something, is there a riff, is there a little something, tiny, tiny something between the Nuggets and Bones Highland? Or is everybody good, everybody's happy?
Oh, I mean, I think, look, we've seen some version of Bones being, I think, excessive in this way. Like, his frustration, he wears that on his sleeve. I think specifically what you're asking about, a little unclear if him leaving the bench
yes.
a little early in the fourth was, in fact, a medical issue or something else. Take David Adelman at his word for now. He said it was a medical thing. He wasn't at shoot-around today. I saw still questionable with the finger issue. So maybe that's all it was. But I do know this is a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve. He doesn't like playing poorly. He doesn't like being benched. You know, he's an emotional guy. How big is that rift? Who knows? How is it complicated by the fact that people like you and I are including his name, you know, as we approach trade deadline? You know, that could all be a factor. Who knows? But this is going to be part of the making of Bones Highland. An emotional, passionate player who wears it all on his sleeve. How does he handle a rough patch here, and what kind of player comes out of this? This is a molding spot for a young man.
Yeah, no question about it. It will be curious to see how he can handle it, too. You know, and it just kind of got me thinking with younger players. Michael Malone, you answer this better than I could. You would know this better than me. Does Michael Malone, and I'm saying this in a good way because I want coaches to coach hard, does he push young players hard? And sometimes maybe those guys have a hard time dealing with that, and maybe that's why we used to talk about Malone not playing rookies a lot, although that's kind of changing the last couple of years. Is that something where Malone pushes a little hard and some guys just can't take it right at first? Bull, bull. We hear him talking
right,
about
sure.
wishing that he would have played harder when he was in Denver. Is that something?
I think so, for better or worse. Like, one way to view coaching in the NBA right now is when you get a talented player on that rookie contract, the nation years, the very start of their career, that's your best bet at coaching and molding a player. Where, right, sometimes in today's NBA, a player is so beyond coaching, right? At a certain point in their career, when they're a finished product, a made man in the NBA, does Michael Malone get to chew them out? No. He gets to do a little bit of coaching when they're rookies, though, and see how they respond. That approach you talked about, that's definitely his relationship with Jamal Murray. Right? They talk every day. They challenge each other. He's hard on Jamal. Jamal responds to that. And so that's kind of what I was talking about with the molding of Bones Highland here. Like, who is he going to be as a pro? We know how talented he is. We know what he can provide when things are going well. It gets hard at the hardest level. You are challenged. You are pushed in ways you haven't been before. What type of pro is he capable of, and does he want to be? And, you know, we'll find out together.
I really like Bones Highland. You know, my producer over there, I think that's one of his guys, too. But I have to ask. I mean, you start looking at the trade deadline and what makes sense for the Nuggets. I don't know. Maybe nothing makes sense. Maybe they've kind of got the perfect fit right now. But when I'm looking at guys that you potentially move out, I'm thinking, man, KCP, Bruce Brown, those guys are just too valuable. Christian Brown's too young. Bones seems to be the one that has some value, but also if he's gone, maybe it's not the you don't feel it the most. Is there a chance that the Nuggets look to move Bones Highland?
I think you framed that really well. I think for all those factors, the answer to that question is yes. Is that a report that he's involved in a specific deal that I've been told they're trying to trade him? No, it's not. But everything you just said is the case, right? As far as assets who could be moved meaningfully, that could be used in a deal that would help improve the team this year, looking at a championship opportunity. I think maybe that's the case. You know, Jamal Murray is playing all of the non-Jokic minutes right now. Bruce Brown has some, well, he would tell you he just is a point guard. And I don't know about, like, full-time secondary point guard might be a bit much, but between Murray and Jokic's playmaking prowess, is it something that can be survived? Should they move Bones and turn him into, I don't know, like a longer defensive wing or a backup center? But then you get into some interesting philosophical stuff about team building. You can look at Golden State, and there's, you know, what they're trying to figure out with their starting core and their young guys who are not on the same timeline. They're trying to get the best out of both worlds, it seems like. I don't know. Does, you know, Bones, if you're looking at just this title, it makes a lot of sense to explore those trades. Then there's also the part of this where Bones is very talented, and in 3-4 years, he could be a tremendous player. Is that an asset you want to move off of or trade low on? You know, you got to think about the future as well. So these are the times where I don't envy Calvin Booth or Tim Connelly or any of those guys. There's so many ways to be wrong right now and so few paths to being right.
Yeah, it's tough. But we also know, and I'm glad you brought up Calvin Booth. You know, he moved on from Will Barton and Monte Morris. Those were tough decisions where I think there was one part of the fan base that wanted to move on. There was another part that's like, yeah, but we love Monte Morris, and Will Barton at his best can still do some really, really good things for us. Those were hard moves because those were foundational type guys a part of that. But Calvin Booth showed us, hey, I'm not afraid to make big moves. And so far, those moves turned out to yield a really good product for the Nuggets.
And don't forget, they're all Denver Nuggets, but they're not all drafted by the same guy. And I think that's an important distinction. Bones Highland is a Tim Connelly draft pick, maybe a good one, but it's not a Calvin Booth draft pick.
Right.
So to the point of the question you're asking, yeah, I do think like it's kind of a different thing than asking if Tim would have dealt him. I think it's possible. I think it's possible because of all the reasons you said, right? Like if they are looking to upgrade, all signs point to him as, you know, the asset that could possibly be highly valued by another team that Denver could also survive moving on from. A lot of people don't want to trade Bones. I think I'm largely in favor of letting him play through this and improve. But I understand the perspective because the West looks winnable this year. And right now, Bones is one of the few question marks on the roster.
What keeps them from doing it, man? I mean, seriously, you look at this roster and it looks really good, even with Bones, assuming they don't do anything.
Sure.
Is the biggest weakness who's going to be the center when Nikola Jokic is drinking Gatorade? Like, is that the biggest weakness on this team?
Maybe, but then you get into the playoffs and you shorten the rotation.
Sure.
And Jokic, a guy who doesn't, I say this after his insane MVP season, he doesn't have the most Herculean workload on a healthy team in the regular season. They don't play him 40 minutes every night, is what I'm trying to say. You get to the playoffs and that, you know, that starts sliding in the other direction. So, like, that's maybe, like, not as I think it's the defense, man. I think they've shown enough that, okay, they're capable on that end. They can do it in the fourth quarter. And within the context of understanding that their offense is historic, you know, maybe it's enough. Like, they've solidified themselves as contenders. However, I think of the contenders, their defense remains suspect. You know, will teams attack Bones Highland if he's on the floor? Will they attack MPJ and Jokic and with success? So they're trending in the right direction with the defense. But I think you still want to see another month of them improving on that end before you go, man, I'm feeling great heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what this team does going forward, if they do anything. I mean, I certainly wouldn't blame this team if they decide, you know what, we feel like we've got the right pieces here, because it sure seems like it, especially with what we saw with that winning streak. It felt like this is going to be the year. It really did.
Man, one fan pointed out in our live chat the other night, the Nuggets are odds-on favorite to win the Western Conference right now. When is the last time that happened?
Wow.
How? And then on top of that, doesn't it make talking about trades a little silly? There's something to that, right?
No, you're absolutely right.
But it's different. It's different for fans and for a front office. You know, it's Calvin Booth's job to think about that question every single day and right up and through the deadline, and then even through the buyout part of the season. So, you know, it's his job to think diligently about this and not cut any corners in terms of asking the hard questions. As fans, it's a little easier to lean back and say, I feel good about this team no matter what they do. This has been fun so far.
Yeah, no question about it. Well said by you, Brendan Vogt. Always appreciate you, my man. And we'll see if the Nuggets can kind of get back to their winning ways. One loss out of like 10 or whatever. I mean, I feel spoiled seeing one loss. I'm like, I don't even know what this is anymore. So we'll see if they can get right back at it.
I know. Should we freak out if they lose? What it is? It's going on the road, man. These are some big games coming up. It'll be telling if they carry through.
Doesn't it kind of feel like, okay, the Nuggets are so good right now that it's like, come on, let's get to the playoffs already. I want to see all this stuff work in the series. That's how good they are. I mean, it reminds me of several years ago back, I think that year with Chauncey and Melo, the really, really good year for Denver where they did go to the Western Conference Finals. I was just so ready for the regular season to get done because I want to see this team when it really matters in the playoffs.
Totally, totally. And especially as, well, you know, injury reports and availabilities change throughout the season. Like, you're reminded how quickly this stuff can change, right?
And yeah.
The goal is to feel the way we do about this team in the summer, not right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we'll see, man. We'll find out together. For the rest of the regular season, though, there are interesting things we can still learn about this team. What do they have up their sleeves offensively? What is the final form of that bench unit? And then, is there more they can get out of Michael Porter Jr. within his role, given that, okay, when they get to the playoffs, teams are probably going to concede with that matchup. They'll probably hide some of their worst defenders on him, thinking of him as just a shooter. But what about that Portland game and the Clippers game when he worked in the mid-post and we saw him put the ball on the floor? If he can take advantage of a mismatch, the Nuggets can unlock another gear offensively. So plenty of questions to ask and answer still.
No question about it, Brendan. Appreciate you as always. Love getting your take on this team, and we'll catch up with you soon, okay?
My pleasure, man. Take it easy.
Brendan Vogt, DNVR Nuggets. 37 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.